Unfortunately, the sad or concerning news is that 2024 was a really good year for international terrorism. You had, of course, in the background and really radicalizing individuals in Europe and in the US, the Middle East conflict with the Gaza war now permeating into a Lebanese war, into an exchange with Iran. And not only do Hamas and Hezbollah continuously call on its sympathizers and supporters in the West to create trouble, and there was a cell of Hamas terrorists arrested in Berlin and Rotterdam just before the New Year started in December 2023 that were attempting to conduct a terror attack. But also, this conflict has given the other big international terrorist networks a real cause célèbre, something that they can rally around. Not that Al-Qaeda, or in particular the Islamic State, in the last 20, and in the case of the Islamic State, in the last 12 years, had any interest in the Palestinian cause. But they're now taking this to make this kind of defensive arguments that people should do something also to help the Palestinians. And so we had a, what I can only describe, incredibly impressive number of successful and attempted attacks by ISIS in Europe, including several times that ISIS cells have actually been arrested in the United States as well, who tried to conduct some terror attacks. So we did see a massive spike there, partially because of the Middle East conflict, partially also because, as I always say, we decided no longer to fight terrorism there. So hence, we're now fighting it here. We are no longer really engaged in Iraq and Syria. We are no longer at all engaged militarily in Afghanistan. We've withdrawn all the way from West Africa, pretty much every single significant country where ISIS and Al-Qaeda is incredibly growing the last couple of years. And we left the East African coast, i.e. Somalia and Al-Shabaab, pretty much to the African Union, which is also withdrawing in the coming year. So this has been a real concerning year.
We in the United States are going to get a new president, Donald Trump. How do you believe his re-entry into the presidency will impact terrorism as it essentially impacts the U.S. and, of course, its allies?
Well, I mean, we have to wait and see what he does in concrete terms. He has said he wants to end the Middle East conflict within a couple of days, preferably before he's inaugurated on January 20th. If that is the case, we will have a Hamas still in Gaza able to reconstitute itself, because the military defeat that clearly Hamas has experienced in Gaza is not replicated in drawing down Hamas's money resources. The funds are still flowing from Iran. They're still collecting donations. They still run their companies in the region, including in Turkey, Lebanon, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. So money comes in. So if you have a Israeli withdrawal from Gaza with a few remnants of Hamas still there and still all the money intact, this is just a matter of time. We will also see a Hezbollah that is going to rebuild. Let's see what the ceasefire negotiations are actually going to stipulate about its disarmament. I doubt that Hezbollah is ever going to agree to completely disarm. We will have another narrative of the Islamists that they, in its essence, have won. They already have that narrative with Afghanistan. They already have that narrative with West Africa. This will be another point where they feel they can exhaust Western states, and I would count Israel to the group of Western states. Hence, the motivation will be higher. And he has also announced that he would like to end the conflict of Ukraine, which will not have an immediate effect on international terrorism, because this is a war between two sovereign states, Russia, who invaded, and Ukraine, who is fighting for her life. But as we have already pointed out, many, many years since the conflict started in 2014 and the Counter-Extremism Project, we do have an infusion of right-wing extremists, in particular also on the Russian side, who are at the moment busy and contained with the war in Ukraine. But as soon as that war ends, all these now well-armed, combat-hardened, trained with access to arms and ammunition, right-wing extremists are going to come home. And the sad news, some of those, is that some of those right-wing extremists are from our home, from Europe, even a couple of them from the United States. So there may be another inadvertent effect of the Ukraine conflict. That means that we do see a more capable right-wing, or RENVI, as you call them in the United States, seen in Western Europe and in the United States, that is now more capable to conduct attacks than they were before.
What about new new terror organizations, new groups, new faces, new tactics, new actions, new threats?
Well, I mean, first of all, there has been a leadership attrition in the Islamist terrorism sector quite staggeringly since really 2001. And what really happens is you remove those leaders and they're going to get replaced. So we are now in a situation where ISIS doesn't even dare to announce who the caliph is anymore. But that doesn't mean that the terror group is not able to operate anymore. I've already pointed to all of those arrests and successful attacks in Europe. What I can see in the methodology is actually not a super huge part of innovation, but a very concerning development, that we now see all three methodologies again in Europe. If you look at the attack against the Crocus Theater in Russia, that's a classic Al-Qaeda methodology, who thought it was long gone because it's such a high risk and such a really drain on resources for terror organizations to drain people, to send them into the country and then to conduct their terror attack. We thought we were past this. We are back. We've seen a much larger number of guided attacks, i.e. individuals who are already in our country and then asking for guidance on how to make their attacks that they plan more effective. And we saw a spike in lone actor attacks or single cell attacks, individuals who just decide they want to do an attack and then only just beforehand declare their loyalty towards the Islamic State. Now, the new aspect here is that we see the first and the second one, the organized attack and the guided attacks, far more, which is much riskier for terror organizations. In my interpretation, that means they really feel no longer that much under pressure and they can lose 10 cells, 15 cells. It doesn't matter anymore. A couple of years ago, when we were fighting them all in the places where they are growing, they couldn't afford to lose two or three cells for a terror attack, and they fully just wanted these inspired attacks to take off. The fact that they now feel comfortable enough to do that, it's worrying. And then, of course, we have the whole internet space where, again, as I pointed out many, many times in the past, we see the abject failure of these companies to really be effective in fighting any aspect of their misuse by terrorists, whether it's propaganda, whether it's recruitment or organizing, or even now the big issue is financing. Now the terrorist organizations, including violent extremist organizations, have now adopted part of the online tools that are now part of our live crowdfunding platforms, virtual assets, as part of their financing strategy. That's not the main strategy, but that's, you know, a growing part of their business model. And again, we have the situation where these companies are not really willing to help.
Well, this is all very interesting, and we so shall certainly see in the next year what comes. Just one more thing I'd like to briefly ask you about, and this is the thing that I've been thinking about, and I'm thinking maybe a few other people have been too, the activity that the Israeli military has taken against Hamas and Hezbollah. I keep hearing this phrase or this term, creating a new generation of terrorists. How do you feel about that?
Yes, look, I mean, as with all military counterterrorism operations, this is only buying you time to do something that is more sustainably pushing these groups down, creating a different social political environment, drying out their social support, getting their money. If you do not do this, you get full hit with the unintended consequences that, of course, in such military operations, there's always going to be collateral damage, that these groups, as ISIS did in Mosul and Hamas does now in Gaza, actually want you to kill civilians because it's part of their strategy to tire you politically and ethically out, to force democratically elected governments to stop military operations before the group is totally destroyed. So yes, these military operations have that unintended consequences. And unfortunately, neither in Gaza, to a certain extent also not in Lebanon, I can see any efforts to bring about these more sustainable mechanisms, who is govern this country or the southern Lebanon or the Gaza Strip once military operations have ended. Meaning, you have a window of opportunity. If you don't use it, you'll be back.
That was Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.